Well, praise God. As we get started tonight, I just wanted to share just a side note about the title of my message, because you know what? It has value.
Amen.
So I was having a conversation in the lobby last Sunday morning with Jamar and Jimmy Richardson. And don't you just love it when you're having that kind of conversation that engages you with the flow of revelation? And that's exactly what was taking place. I mean, it reminds me of the scripture that says, iron sharpens iron. You know? It's like when two blades come together, the edges make one another sharper. And so it makes the tool more effective for its task and for its purpose. And so, as we began to exhort one another and build one another up, as we were talking with this conversation, this Holy Ghost conversation, it sharpened each of us. And it's the kind of conversation that brings increase into your life. It's a mutual benefit for both people. It will strengthen you, and it will help you to flourish. So, if you're not already connected, I want to encourage you to get involved with one of our ministry team groups. Get involved serving on a ministry team. Or come early and have coffee in the lobby and have a Holy Ghost conversation with somebody out there. Because it'll sharpen you. And this is the very way that these things are fostered. Relationships are fostered, and they grow through fellowship. So I want to encourage you about that. So as we were gathered together and we were speaking, I just started talking a little bit about what I'm going to share with you tonight. And Jamar, I'm telling you what, that brother is full. And he was out there and he was just letting it flow. And he began to share with me, you know, I've never heard somebody minister about what we were talking about with the question in mind about how... Who told Eve in the garden? Who told her that? And I said, you know, Jamar, that's a great title for my message. And I'm going to borrow it, and I'm going to give you the credit. So tonight, the title of my message is, Who Told You That? Who told you that? Amen. Did you ever play that telephone game? You know, the one where you kind of whisper something in the other person's ear.
Yeah.
It's like you get one opportunity to share a phrase, and then it goes around the circle, and they all share that phrase. But when it comes back around, that last person has to tell what it is that they heard. Have you ever noticed it's nothing like how it started out? It's very different. And I'll tell you what, it's fun, it's funny, but it does make a point. You know, sometimes you know things about a person or a situation, and people start sharing the story, and like the telephone game, it's shared several times, and all of a sudden it comes back to you, and you hear it, and oh my goodness, you turn around and you say, now, who told you that? Because definitely it's not the same story that needs to be told in its original context, and so we need to know the source of where we get information. Where is it coming from? Who told you that? Now, that's a good question for you to ponder. Don't just receive everything that you hear. Don't receive every thought that comes to your mind. You know, the Word of God tells us to guard our hearts and guard our minds. It's a gateway. So we need to make sure that we're hearing truth. Romans 12:2 says this in the NIV, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what, church? Transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How are we going to do that? By transforming our mind, by renewing our mind to the Word of God. Now, this is going to affect how you behave. It's going to affect what you believe. And it will even affect your personality. You know, the word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let's talk for just a moment about the influences or the voices that can influence our thought life. So one thing would be the voices of other people. Yeah. Have you noticed that people have opinions? People have opinions. But where are their opinions coming from? Are their opinions coming from the Word of God? Or is it coming from their emotions? Is it coming from faith or fear? Is it coming from reasoning? Again, Jesus said, take heed what you hear.
Yes, he did.
And you have to ask the question, who told them that? Okay? So that's one place that we receive from, is the voices of other people. Then we hear the voice of the enemy that will often come to us. And you know, the spirit of this world, it seeks to work to blind the mind and the understanding of people. That's what it's seeking to do, the spirit of this age. It seeks to deceive, to distort the truth. Now, it started in the garden with Eve. Satan came to Eve, and he you know what he came after, actually? He came after her identity.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And that same spirit, not a different one, but that same spirit, because spirits don't die, is working in this world today to steal people's identity in Christ. Who they are. Amen. There's so much confusion about identity because it's a spirit of confusion. Amen?
Amen.
And so he sought to steal her identity and to tell her, you know, if you just eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. There was only one problem. She already was. She already was. She was created male and female in His image. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it doesn't say how long she pondered the thought. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder about that. How long did she think about that? Did she meditate on it until it became a imagination? And then she acted on it? You're going to be like God. Eat the fruit. See, it's good. Eat it. So that was the temptation. And so, again, we know the end result. She ended up partaking and gave it to her husband, and they both ate, and we know the rest of the story. And so, you know, what's really important is when the enemy comes, because it's the same tactics that he uses. It's just packaged differently. But he will come, and he will knock at your door.
Yeah.
And when he knocks on your door, don't open it.
Yeah. That's good.
Don't open the door, because you know what? He's going to have a package for you. And that package, I'm telling you what, it is going to have your name on it.
Uh-oh.
And he's going to say, here you go. This is for you. No, I'm not going to receive that package. The other thing he'll say, you know what? It's got your address. This is your package. You need to take it. No. I'm not going to receive that package. We used to teach this to the kids. You know, the kids know this principle. If the enemy comes to your door, and he may not be dressed up like the enemy, he may be dressed up really good. It may be a fun looking package. And he might want to tempt you with depression or oppression or wrong thoughts or, you know, fear, reasoning. And I'll tell you what, you have to resist. You have to say, nope. Return to sender.
Return to sender.
Return to sender.
Yeah.
I'm not opening the door.
That's right.
How many times is the door of oppression or depression knocked on your soul to get you to take that thought? And if you begin to take that thought, trust me, you're going to be imagining you know, all sorts of things, and then it ends up becoming a stronghold in your life, and then you have to work a lot harder to work through it. So when he knocks at your door, what are you going to do? You're not going to answer. Don't answer the door. You're going to return to sender the lies of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, he'll come with reasoning. But you know what? We already have an invitation for reasoning. God said, come and reason with me. And his thoughts are higher. And when you reason with him, he gives you his thoughts. And it takes you to a higher place. Hallelujah. So another thing that could come against us and influence us is the voice of our own self-talk. Amen? Our own self-talk, our own thoughts. And it could be things in our past that speak to us, patterns of thought, patterns of believing, even your worldview. It could be current situations in your own self-talk. It could be future fears. But again, we can't let our own self-talk defeat us. Amen. And influence us.
Amen.
We've got to close the door and make sure it's lined up with the Word of God. So when you hear your own self-talk and it doesn't line up with the Word, you need to ask yourself this question. Who told you that? When the enemy's saying, you can't do it, you can't make it, it's not going to work this time. What are you going to say? Who told you that?
Yeah, right. Amen.
Who told you that? Is it the enemy? Is it other people?
Yeah.
Is it your own self-talk?
Yeah.
We've got to trust in God's word. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't want to have false belief happening, wrong thinking happening. We want to base what we're thinking on the truth of God's word. And sometimes that means you shine a light on it. A light of the gospel.
That's right.
You know, I remember when my kids were at home, they're in their 50s now, but this is a while back, but I've had teenage grandkids and great grandkids. And I'll tell you what, you go in their room and it might appear to be looking okay, but then you go under the bed looking for something. And guess what? You got to shine a light on that because you got to try to find it, what it is you're looking for.
Yeah.
So sometimes we just have to take the light of the gospel and shine through all that garbage and all that junk and all those Coke cans and everything else. All the dirty socks. Pull them out, get rid of it, and change our thinking. Amen. We've got to break the patterns of wrong thinking because they become strongholds. And you know what a stronghold is? It's a place where the enemy hides. And so, he wants us to be effective in this life. And if we're not aligning our thoughts, we're not going to be aligning our faith. Because our thoughts are connected to our believing. Amen? And so we have to order it aright. You know, we have to change the pattern of thinking. And sometimes there's a lot of things that we're thinking about that's been a pattern for a while. Maybe you're standing against something, it's a mountain, and you're standing in the shadow of that mountain so long, it's overtaking you.
Yeah.
Step out of the shadow.
Yeah.
Shine a light, amen?
Amen?
And let the glorious gospel illuminate.
Yeah. That's right.
Fresh manna, fresh rhema to your heart.
Amen.
Because otherwise, it will taint your believing. Like I said, you know, if you're making bread, you use yeast. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And yeast is an important ingredient to make bread because it causes the dough to rise. But one thing about yeast, if you put yeast in the dough, guess what? It's not going to affect the little part that you put it in. It's going to affect the whole. It will affect the whole dough. Amen? And just like if you had a yeast infection in your body, it can spread. And especially under stress, it weakens your immune system. So we have to get those thoughts of doubt, fear, and unbelief out of our thinking and renew our minds, like we've been saying, to the Word of God. So when the enemy comes to set up strongholds and patterns of thinking, what are we going to do? 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6 tells us exactly what to do. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's word, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and to obedience of the word. Thoughts again become imaginations, and those imaginations become strongholds. So make sure they're good ones. Amen?
Amen.
Hearing faith-filled thoughts will develop a stronghold of faith in you. And receiving thoughts that exalt themselves against the word, and that even includes dreading something, it develops a stronghold of the enemy. And how are we walking, church? We just sang about it. We walk by what?
Faith.
And not by sight. I love how it says in the Message translation in 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6, it says, the tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful tools, our God tools, for smashing warped philosophies. Are there not some warped philosophies? Amen. Tearing down barriers erected against God's truth. In the last days, it says that men will call evil good and good evil. And we see that happening. So we got to make sure that we tear down the barriers of those philosophies and erect them against God's truth. Fitting every loose thought and emotion an impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstacle and building lives of obedience unto maturity. So these are things that we grow in. These are things that mature us. So again, the instruction of the Lord to overcome also is found in Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. It says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk and regulate your life and your conduct in union with and in conformity to him. Having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him and fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming more increasingly confirmed and established in the faith. So we've got to regulate our lives. You know, one of the hardest things to do in the sanctuary is to control the temperature. Because some like it hot and some like it cold.
So
some are too hot and some are too cold.
Yeah.
And so regulating the temperature can be challenging.
Yep.
But you know, it's something that we need to do. We need to, like on a thermostat, if it's too hot, you're going to turn the air up. Yeah. If it's too cold, you're going to turn the heat up. So you're going to regulate.
Yeah.
And the scripture tells us to regulate our lives in line with the word.
Yeah.
And that affects our conduct. So the dictionary defines regulate as this: the manner in which one behaves. The action or manner of managing an activity, organization, or yourself. It also means to organize and carry out or to lead and guide someone to a particular place. So we're guiding ourselves to be in line with the word. So we have to regulate our lives and control. If we feel our temper may be getting a little hot, what does the word say?
Yeah.
If we feel like we're like staying in bed and wanting to miss church, we better regulate that temperature. Amen? And this cannot be done in your own strength.
This is true.
Philippians 2 says this: not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. And what is he doing in you?
Yeah.
He's energizing and creating in you the power and what?
Desire,
both to will and to work for his good pleasure, his satisfaction, until he is delighted.
Amen.
Philippians 4:6-23 says, be not anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Yeah.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all that you know in your mind, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So again, you got to meditate on these things and regulate your thoughts as you walk by faith and not by sight. So again, it goes on to say, brethren, think on these things, whatever is true, lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is a good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, do what? Think on these things. And the peace of God will be with you. Amen.
Amen.
So make walking by faith a way of life. Evaluate your thoughts and ask yourself, who told me that? Was it God? Was it the enemy? Was it myself? Do I need to regulate? Do I need to change and renew my mind concerning that? Because we have, church, the mind of Christ. You know, you can go to the Word, and the Word is like a mirror. Guess what? I just happened to bring one. And I'll tell you what, you remember that story, mirror, mirror on the wall? Who's the fairest of them all? Well, I'll tell you what, when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, it's not going to be you. It's not going to be you, because I'll tell you what, you're going to find sleep in your eyes. You're going to find your hair is wild and crazy. You're going to see that pimple on your nose, you know? And so it's time to make a change. You gotta regulate what you see in this mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
Pastor Brent and I, we call it the process.
The process,
the process can take some time. Now, the same thing is true when we look into the Word, because the Word said it is a mirror. And it will reflect back to you. It will help you to regulate your thoughts, your attitudes, you're believing. Amen?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. Like, you know, the Lord will help me. I'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and he'll say, you know, you really weren't patient in that situation. You need to make an adjustment and regulate.
Yeah.
Or how about you're just a little touchy with that comment that was made. Or you know what? That was self-seeking. Don't do that again. Or are you yielding to fear? I know one night I had, you know, at night how the enemy comes against your mind. And I'll tell you, one night I had this struggle with just being fretful over a situation. But God's word says love is not fretful. But I was fretting. And I was just not, I wasn't able to sleep. And all of a sudden, as I began to look to the Lord down inside of here, the Lord began to speak to me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whose responsibility was that? It was mine. But the Word, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to my heart, helped me to regulate my thoughts and put them back in line with the Word. Because it was getting way off over here. Too hot and too cold.
Sure.
Amen?
Yeah.
Here's what we have to do, church. We have to trust God more than we trust in fear.
Absolutely.
Trust God more than you trust in the lies of the enemy.
Yes.
That'll help put you over. You know, sometimes people, they just need to regulate their lives in concerning things that God wants them to do in terms of stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into. The enemy will tell you, well, you can't do that, and you'll have a million excuses why you can't. But you know what? God wants you to step out, step up, and step into some things. He wants you to take hold of what he has for you. And his plans for you, church, are always going to be bigger than your aunt.
Yes, that's right.
So don't reason it away.
That's right.
Just say, here I am, Lord, use me.
Amen.
How do you want to use me today? So when the enemy tries to tell you that's too big for you, recognize who told you that. Amen? It's not God, because God says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So test the thoughts that come to your mind. Test them and practice these things, because you won't do them perfectly. We're human. But we endeavor to make progress. Amen? And practice makes what?
Perfect.
Actually, it makes improvement. You can end up there, but you know, if you set yourself up by saying, I'm not going to miss it. You know what? You set yourself up.
That's true.
Because we don't do these things perfectly. I'm telling you, I want that extra piece of pie, and oftentimes I eat it. But I'm making progress. I'm making progress. And you are too. And so practice these things daily, all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Make progress. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is by grace through faith that we're able to do these things, that we're able to walk out these disciplines in our life.
Yeah.
By grace. Through faith. Grace, remember what I always say to you? Grace is like green lights and no traffic.
Come on.
Last Sunday morning I was coming to church and I had every green light and no traffic. And it was glorious. And I said, thank you for the grace of God. And then I get in church and pastor's preaching on it. Amen. So of course, if you're coming down to church and you're hitting every traffic light and you're gridlocked, you're stressed, you're going to be late, it's just no bueno.
Yeah.
But you can travel with the grace of God.
Yes, you can.
Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. You can walk by faith and not by what you see, not by what you feel, not by what you can touch or taste. You can walk by faith, by grace through faith. You're going to receive salvation.
That's right.
And that means Zoe. That means everything's included. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think of just a couple people that I just want to end up closing with. One of which is the Shunammite lady.
Oh.
And she was a lady who faced the death of her son. And I'm telling you, can you imagine the thoughts that maybe have coming to her mind as she was facing this event? But she had something else down on the inside that she began to run with. She didn't stop to reason it out. She began to run. And as she ran, people tried to stop her along the way. Now, you're going to have situations in your life. Maybe it's not the death of a person, but maybe it's a dead situation that needs to be resurrected by the life of God. And people will try to stop you on the way, but you've got to continue to run the race, and you continue to declare with your mouth, it is well, it is well, it is well, it is well. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How about Abraham? Abraham, who against all natural hope, believed in a supernatural hope. Amen? And he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God.
That's right.
He was glorifying the Lord, even though it didn't look like it was going to ever happen.
Yeah.
Even though the situation was impossible in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
He looked to God and he glorified him, knowing that he had faith in God, amen? He had trust in what God said to him. Have trust in what God says to you. How about Nehemiah? Nehemiah was called. He had this vision. God worked it in him. God's working vision in our church, Heart of the Bay. And he was working vision in Nehemiah, and he was called to rebuild the wall. Now, others had tried to do that for over 70 years, and they failed. But when Nehemiah had the anointing, and he had the passion, and he had the vision to do, and he took hold of that, I'm sure that the voices were talking to him. You know, they've tried for 70 years, and this hasn't happened. But he stepped out in faith because he walked by faith and not by sight. And God gathered to him all manner of craftsmen, all manner of people to come along and help him. You know, you can bring your gifts and your talents and your abilities, and you can serve God with them in the local church.
That's right.
Amen. You can bring them to the house of God. And you know what will happen? They'll increase. Your ability will increase. Amen. The gifts will increase as you serve him with them. And so people came, and they were able to accomplish that task in 52 days. 52 days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the last one I want to talk about is Moses. You know, and the 12 spies. The 12 spies, you know, were sent out by Moses because God told Moses, I'm giving you this land. I'm giving Israel the land of promise, the land of Canaan. I'm giving it to you. Now you send out spies, one from each tribe, and you spy out the land and you see if it's not a blessed land. And so Moses gathered 12 spies and sent them out. And they went out and they spied out the land. And when they came back, you know, they came back with pomegranates that had to carry them on rods because they were so big and so prosperous. And they came back and they said, yes, well, 10 of them anyway, said, you know, it's just like God said. That land flows with milk and honey. It's a blessed land. It's a promised land.
Yeah.
We have a promised land, church. It's right here.
Amen.
We have the promises of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they came back and they said, but you know what? The walls are great. The walls were like actually 30 feet high. There were two walls, one on top of the other. Stone wall and then a mud wall on top of that. 30 feet high. They were 6 feet wide. People lived in the walls. Rahab lived in that wall. And so they said the walls around the city, they're just way too big. And the people living in the city, it's the sons of Anak. And, you know, they were giants. Giant in stature. And they said, you know, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See how they saw themselves is how other people saw them. So we cannot go up, and we cannot obtain the promise of God. And so the Bible called it an evil report. But then there was another spirit. The Spirit of God that rested upon Joshua and Caleb. Oh, hallelujah. Church, we walk in that spirit of faith.
Yes.
And they stood up and they said, oh, no. We are well able. We are well able. Now, they were facing the same walls. The same 30 feet wall, 6 feet wide. They were facing the same giants that were inside. But God gave them the land. The other ones shrunk back in fear. But they didn't know the how this was going to happen. They only know the who. They said, let us go up at once. Because we are well able to possess it. And so we know the story. The 10 spies who had unbelief never entered into the promise of God.
They didn't.
They did not.
Yeah.
But the two spies, along with those who had that spirit of faith, they went forth. And you know, God had a strategic plan. It was not a military plan, but it was a strategic plan. See, the other ones were limited to the military. They were limited in their thinking. They didn't come and reason with God and get a higher thought. They just stayed here on the low level thinking naturally. But God had a supernatural plan. And we know the first city that they went to was Jericho. And when they got to Jericho, God gave them the plan. For the first 6 days, they walked around the city. And then on the seventh day, they walked around and they blew the horns and they gave a shout. And what happened? The walls came tumbling down. Now, a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost is what we need to expect, church. We are not limited to natural means. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're well able to possess their land. We're well able to see the vision fulfilled here at Heart of the Bay. Amen. What God has called us to. Corporately. Not individually. It's not just pastors Mark and Brenda that carry this vision. It's all of us. That carry the vision. And every one of us has a part to play. Everyone will be accountable to the Lord. Amen. So we're going to put our hand to the plow and we're going to get busy and we're going to move in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And what is not possible naturally is going to be possible supernaturally. Amen. Hallelujah. So the 10 spies, they were full of unbelief. Who told them that? The circumstances. Who told them that? What they saw. Who told them that? Probably each other. If you want to soar like an eagle, you cannot run with a turkey. So you've got to remove yourselves from people who do not walk with the spirit of faith. Amen. So praise the Lord. What are we going to ask ourselves? Who told us that? What are we going to do? We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to regulate the thoughts that come to us. And we're going to line them up with God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to, Lord, be encouraged tonight. Because you are a faith-filled Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us, Spirit. And we thank you that we have the spirit of faith. And we're going to look to you and not to circumstances, not to things that would try to distract us. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. And as we do, we'll be water walkers. And as we do, we're going to rise up. And we're going to walk in places, having walks that you have prepared for us to walk in. They're not going to be natural walks. They're going to be supernatural walks. For individuals sitting in this room, watching online, but also for us collectively, there's some places the Holy Spirit wants to take us. So stretch out your hand. Right now, stretch out your hand. And take hold of them. If you've been standing in the shadow of mountain that's been speaking to you, that situation, it's too big. That person will never change. We've been standing so long to see a breakthrough. Don't get weary in well-doing. But just know this, God is not mocked. And whatever you sow, and if you sow faith into it, you are going to reap from it. And so, Lord, take us higher as we trust in you. Yes. We trust in you. Everybody say it. I trust in God. I trust in Jesus. I trust that Jesus is my Savior, and I make you the Lord of my life. You rule and you reign in Jesus' name.